Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to episode 170 of the Rustical Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell. With me today, I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith.
Hamid Salah Harun Al-Tahan.
Oh.
Sell Sight Bottom. And Azu!
Yeah, it took me a moment to decode. Both me and Lydia had the same face.
I was like, why has Hamid become Barry White? But
What the what now?
He's got a much sexier voice thanks to new improved vocal cords.
I have to come clean on the audio now for listeners, which is I cocked up the intro at least three times in a row, and these guys have already remembered they're not even doing their normal voices. I am put to shame.
It has been so long since I last recorded. I've basically forgot everything about the tech setup, but I remembered the plot.
There's your priorities.
I will do the normal apologies to a listener, which is, it's been a while for us.
It's been an even longer while than usual. It's like 3 months, genuinely.
Yeah, it's been a while, so we're going to try and pick up and we'll pretend that we're flawless and everything's fine and everything's wonderful.
We are
Speaking
flawless.
Of which, let's take a moment to consider where we are. We are currently in an airship, on and in, that's fair, actually, in the far, far, far north of the world, having flown through the aurora, the very pretty Aurora Borealis. It had little tunes. I hope you liked them. It was very nice. Might have accidentally body swapped everyone, or at least most people, and left everyone scared and confused. And there was a brief interaction where Cell made friends with a tankard.
Hey, and I think a handkerchief.
And a handkerchief.
You have maybe a rope as well?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the rope was my main friend. and then the tankard came along later. But like, we welcomed them in. It was just, you know,
Everyone says, you know, that I do a lot of horror. Truly the most horrible thing that I've done is there was an entire musical number of Be Our Guest, but I just refused to give any of the objects mouths.
Aww.
I have no mouth, but I must sing.
So, in terms of picking up where we left off, that's actually a little bit trickier. The reason being, I have built a large, elaborate machine to torture myself, which is a massive location filled with NPCs who all are in each other's bodies. So I'm going to take a little bit of the load off me and say, who wants to have a scene first? And I can work from there. Has anyone got anything they want to address? Because otherwise, I'm going to roll a dice and pick at random as to who's next on the list.
How long have we been in the bodies now? It's been a little while. We've had to crew the ship.
A few hours.
Okay, and because we all took dex damage as well, and some of that at least has been healed. Hamid was struggling. And, well, still struggling a bit, but...
I would say we're about 6 hours, which gives enough time for... to have passed to, I just hate this, or I love this, I don't know.
Yeah.
And also combined with Zolf needs some time to have, like, figured out who needs healing, administer the healing, etc. Mm. So, yeah, I'm going
to
say
it's
been about...
You have to meditate to prepare the right spells. As well,
it's been 6 hours since people woke up. With these effects, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. It's been so very long. I'm just checking my character sheet. All my restorations are gone, so we're going to need like a full 8 hours before I can do any of that sort of stuff. Obviously, being a cleric, I can heal people out of the wazoo. But yeah,
please
no,
don't,
you don't heal
them
out of the wazoo.
That's not. that's well. Now in Zolf's new like cleric of hope thing, that is how it works.
Yeah, instead of laying on hands, you just fart at people and they get better.
That's why the fart happened.
Oh, that's it. There you
go. It's because he cares.
Deep Zolf lore.
If people are over the initial panic, Hamid, who is currently in Azu's body, would like to take Skrark aside for a private chat. Skrark is currently in Kiko's body, so that won't be at all weird.
Oh my gosh, right. Yes, give me a second to just calculate that out in my head.
Oh dear.
So, I am going to say that the kobolds at first, I have mentioned in the last episode, they sort of bunched together quite a lot in that, like, they had their own briefing with Skrark, and Skrark was effectively just giving a pep talk, I don't know how else to put it, which was, you know, this will be fine. I mean, we've gone through awful stuff. This is just going to be a fun story to tell the grandkids. Don't fret about it, blah, 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 blah. The kobolds have then begun to sort of disperse and start trying to do their jobs and so on. Again, they are clumsy the same way that everyone else is, but you manage to find Skrark effectively. Alex has also been reading up on his old Saley ships.
Ooh.
You manage to find Skrark towards the stern.
I genuinely expected it to be some properly obscure ship lore.
No.
I've learned what the front of the ship is.
He walked on the poop deck.
I'm building too.
That's a deep cut for you ship nerds.
Did anybody know that left when you're on the water is port?
No, Ben. Port is where you go when you have to land. No. So he is upon the poop deck. You are correct. He is at the stern, and he is basically chilling and looking out backwards towards where the Aurora Borealis can still be seen sort of receding into the horizon. And he's just there overlooking. So you can, I'll say this, you can approach Skrark. You are not able to approach Skrark quietly. This is beyond your capability.
Oh, yeah. Used to it.
I mean, Hamid is struggling. You know, like, this body is very, very different from his own. And he is suffering a little. You know, the dex damage has gone, so it is now possible for him to move around without, you know, falling over and crushing things, but he's not doing great. Skrark? Hello, Skrark?
Hello. Kiko's body seems to be chewing up the words. You will have noticed just for free, the things that the kobolds are actually finding hardest is speaking. Transitions from fangs to non-fangs, super tricky. And anyone who is in a kobold body is also... There's so much going on in this mouth.
Sorry, just not to be unhelpful pedant, but I remember we were talking about how Draconic is very difficult with humanoid tongues,
yes,
because they fundamentally have different, like, voice boxes and throats and stuff. So how?
This is correct.
How? I guess.
Draconic is possible. Sel's been speaking Draconic. It's okay. Just that, again, let's not shy away from it. It is someone being slightly alienated, I guess, from their own language to a degree, which is, I mean, you're right. Their pronunciation of Draconic will fundamentally be different, even if they are a flawless, fluent speaker, because they literally have different biology currently.
Okay.
So, yeah, when I say that they're chewing up their words, I mean that there's an element of people are working around it. Honestly, it's going to feel a bit like people are talking whilst chewing a piece of toffee a bit of the time. But, yeah, totally a thing.
Sure.
Hello. Hamid.
Everything seems sort of calm at the moment. Could we have a quick talk somewhere, possibly?
Okay. Is here fine, or...?
I just scan. Who's nearby?
Not many people. I'd say, at this stage, Barnes is currently manning the helm, I think. But beyond that, there's not really anyone on the poop deck. Most people seem to be... You notice that most people seem to be hanging out in ones or twos, spreading themselves out and trying to keep themselves away from one another a little bit.
But perhaps a cabin might be more suitable?
Sure. Lead the way.
Okay.
You both, I guess, sort of
stumble a bit, yeah.
Both of you very unused to big, long bodies. Maybe both hitting your heads on the way down to a cabin. But yeah, although there are group sleeping quarters, there are obviously, like, nooks and crannies and stuff. You're able to find somewhere easily enough.
How is everybody doing? It's difficult adjustment, isn't it?
It varies. I think we have some problems. Sasra is struggling a lot. I don't know why so much. I'd say the rest will handle it, but I don't know why Sasra is struggling so much.
Good question. Perhaps we should talk to Zolfa about that at some point. I thought you did. I saw you as we were all waking up and figuring out what had happened. I saw you talking to the other kobolds, and I just I thought you did a really good job, Skark. I think, you know, you're a natural leader, and I just think the way you're leading the rest of them and coping with that is really impressive, and I wanted to say thank you for doing such a good job there.
It's fine. It's what I do.
Yes. I've noticed that, and I'm so relieved that everyone is at least on some level okay. It could have been a lot worse, and I have to ask, Skark. It's been a while, and you said it would get easier, and I suppose it has in a sense, but I still don't really know. I still don't really understand why you're here, why you came to find me, and why any of you would.
Give me a diplomacy check.
That was not a great roll, but I do have a pretty high modifier, so.
It's not a great roll. 97. Not my best.
21.
Okay. Skark looks at you really long and really hard, and just when you think that they've either not heard you, you know, like that beat where you can have where someone takes such a long pause that you're like, is this still a conversation or what's happening here? Skark kind of gives a sigh and, it helps that you aren't what everyone thought you might be.
What did you think I might be, Skark?
I might not have been 100% truthful with you for why we are here.
How do you mean?
It's more complicated than just trying to help. We're more here to. This is all in Draconic, by the way.
Sure.
Keep tabs on you and the rest of the group as much as we are to help. Skark looks super awkward and fidgety in this, which is only exaggerated by. Tell you what, once you've seen someone fidget in this kind of situation, like, it puts all of the fidgeting aside. Like, yeah, proper fidgety.
I'm not sure I quite see what you mean, Skark.
You all swept in when everything was awful, and you did so messily.
Yes.
And everyone was ready to jump. There is a phrase, it doesn't, I don't, he struggles for a moment, to jump from the fire to the volcano? Do you
yes.
know this phrase?
We have a similar one, yes.
We have all been ready to jump from the fire to the volcano. My job and my helpers are as much to spot if the volcano is going to erupt as it is to help you. This is difficult. Better strong allies than strong enemies when there's so much going wrong.
I suppose I see what you mean in a sense. I guess that's kind of a relief in a way. I didn't, the idea that all of you would following me and looking to me for leadership. Skark, I've always wanted to be a leader. I know that probably sounds childish, but I never have been, and I don't. I mean, on paper, I used to supposedly the back when it was me and Azu and Sasha and Grizzop, and but I never was. I didn't have to be. We all did what we knew we had to, and no one ever looked to me for leadership. And the idea that you all would come to me and kneel to me after what I did to you, to your people, I just... Skark, I've been so scared of making a mistake, and I just... You've been so understanding and patient, and I just... You're just much better at this than I ever have been, and I just think you should be, but maybe you are already in charge, and maybe it wasn't, you never really were following me, and maybe that, I'm sorry, I don't know where I'm going, really.
I will tell you a thing that I think you should know, not because it will help, but because it is important. The elders, let's say, that sent me here, sent me and the others, not because we thought you might be a leader, but because we thought you might be a risk.
Yes, I suppose that makes sense.
Over this time, I have learnt two things, Hamid. You are not a risk, but I am afraid at the moment you are not much of a leader either.
No, I agree. I hope I'm not a risk. I told you, Skrug, I told you I owe your people a debt, and this seemed like the only way I'd have a chance to make up for what I did, and I feel like I'm making everything worse, and I just don't think that...
Our presence here is not an inconvenience. We have now a lot of the world we need to understand and see again very quickly. We are seeing a lot of the world very quickly on this journey.
Good. I'm glad, yes.
As to whether I should be in charge, I think you are probably right. Unfortunately, I still... The nest is not complete. I do not have all of the pieces to make such decisions.
What do you mean, Skark?
Context. There's so much context. I can't make any big decisions. I don't want to just rush in and blow stuff up. Skark sighs and then just looks out to the...
I mean, Hamid slumps at that sentence. He just sort of... He's speechless and he's distraught, and that's very obvious in his body language.
It could be worse. Could you imagine what would have happened if Carter was the first one in?
Skark, maybe. But no one else quite causes destruction the same way I do. What? Where do we go from here, Skark?
North.
Yes.
Look, there is lots of context, but the goal is still the same. Stuff is broken, so we fix it.
Yes.
It's just that the stuff that is broken is very big and very broken.
Yes, the things are very, very broken.
So, things need very fixing.
Yes.
He gives a sort of shrug, like a...
I wish I could give you more of the context, but given what happened to us, I also lack a great deal of understanding about the situation the world is in right now.
I think you might benefit... Skrark looks really kind of uncomfortable with whatever's about to come, sort of again kind of fidgety, like, I think you might benefit from talking with the other kobolds without me for a bit.
They've all seemed so scared of me, so unwilling to... I haven't wanted to impinge on them too much.
Thankfully, you haven't seemed to blow up much while we've been here, so it's fine, I guess.
I hope so. I hope so. Thank you.
They hate your clothes.
What?
By kobold standards, you are a terrible tailor.
Not enough pockets.
Zing.
Lydia may have beaten me to my own lines there, yeah. Your clothes, they are very impractical in many ways.
Oh, then, I mean, they shouldn't... They were just supposed to be a help against the cold, but I...
pocket without a button is just a broken shelf.
I see. Well, I mean, that can be changed. It's not... I can modify them, but they don't have to wear them, obviously. I just thought it might be helpful if it gets cold.
Have you heard of belts? They do not just need to be worn around the waist.
What? You mean like the bandolier that Sel wears?
Yes, yes! The chest belt.
Okay, then let's add some of those. I can certainly do that. Maybe I can talk to each of them and find out what modifications they would like and start working on those.
I think we should share some food with you soon.
That
maybe when things are quieter.
Yes, that I would like that a lot. Thank you, Skrark. Hi, thank you. I sort of I reach out my hand to sort of pat Skrark on the shoulder, and then I'm suddenly reminded that it's not really my hand, and that Skrark isn't really Skrark, and that the last time this body placed a hand on their shoulder, things were very different. And I sort of I jump up and back away a little bit.
Stop it. That's super weird.
Yes. I almost forgot for a second, but it's...
Check in on Sasra.
Everything seems very, very strange. Yes, I'll do that. Skrark, thank you, and thank you for your honesty. It means a lot that you trust me enough to be honest, and I'm just glad, and I'm still going to do my best not... to lead any of you, but to serve you, I guess. I think that should be my role. I
don't think you have a role, and I think you might need to stop thinking like that. Skrark kind of stands and starts to stagger out a little bit. Just keep fixing things.
Yes. That's good advice. Thank you, Skrark.
Skrark doesn't do exits well. Skrark just leaves. So. Heavy stuff. Anyone else want to go?
Maybe it's not even probably a full scene, but as a aside, what Sel is doing is keeping an eye on Carter, because when Sel gave a talk about ground rules, about how to use other people's bodies, potentially, Carter seemed to be giggling it off. And so Sel is... They have a concern... And so we'll, at first, unobtrusively, always be where Carter is. I think you made a point at some point that, like, Carter slunk off, and it's like, that is suspicious behaviour.
Yeah, I will tell you now. Let's start with a perception check and go from there.
Right, okay.
As with all interactions with Carter, let's start with a perception check.
Yeah, well, it's basically, there. Any check... that for any character I create, like, I would like to mechanize my noticing things. Ooh, 18.
18. Mm. Okay, the last time you saw Carter was below decks, and you saw he was heading to a different part of below decks.
Mm-hmm.
Given that you're actively seeking for Carter, mm-hmm. obviously that's the first place to try and check in.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the sound of... Piston 12's not firing right. Something's impacting on Piston 12. Not in a way that's going to be a problem, but, like, you know, something's in the way. It's definitely off. And as you approach, you hear the sounds of what sound like a minor scuffle in the primary engine room.
Is that where Piston 12 is?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I suppose going there, but keeping Carter in mind. If he's not there, I am going to check, because this could be a distraction and he could hurt someone. So,
your first impression is that you open the door to find a kobold being held in place by another kobold, and they are scrapping, and Piston 12 keeps getting bashed into like one of their heads, and like, ah, stop it. Not in a like terribly violent way, just in a, ah, stop it, stop it, stop it, ow, stop it.
Do I know who those are and also whose bodies they are?
You believe that it's Barnes in Sasra's body, and you believe it is Carter in Natan's body.
Mm-hmm.
They are scrapping the way that siblings scrap, which right. is lots of open palms and lots of... However, these are creatures with claws and tails.
You two... Okay, stop. Wait. Sasra... No, wait. No, not Sasra. But... Carter, no, you're Barnes. No, Carter.
Will you please just get Carter and hold him down? God.
Yes. Okay. That's Carter. I'm gonna guess. Okay. Yes. Do I need to do a grapple check?
No, they've taken enough dex damage that I just don't think it's applicable.
Okay.
Just very quickly, I would like to show some appreciation that Barnes has managed to keep his accent even when transitioning through voice box and mouth.
It's really hard.
That's how deep it goes.
Yeah.
It's really quite hard to do.
Written in his
Carter,
soul.
And you know it's Carter, starts yelling out, no, I'm not Carter. He's Carter. Oh, no.
Headlock all the way. Headlock.
Yeah, it's easy. Thanks. He has been nothing but an absolute nightmare.
No, I expected that. Thinking things through, that was sort of what I absolutely expected that he would be. And so I've been looking for him. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you thinking through this situation as well and watching out for him doing any damage to anyone. So, you know, but I got him in a headlock now. Do you want to explain the situation or is it just shrug Carter, you know? Did he do anything that we should tell Sasra about? Oh, wait,
what
no,
Carter
Natan
keeps yelling
about?
Is... I can't really talk through the headlock, so Barnes just presses on. It's Carter. He's just looking. He's found a whole new world of slightly smaller spaces to cause trouble in. I don't know what you're expecting.
Right, well, what's useful is that we have a whole room, which isn't even really a prison per se, but is somewhere that we could keep an eye on him, inside of which, you know, I made to keep the magic out
Please
of, but it also keeps...
just help me put him in there.
Yeah, okay, like, let's be... How are you, by the way, Barnes?
He's got a couple of pounds on me, and I don't like it.
It's, that's absolutely fine. I've got, several feet on him, so, and also my hands, also two hands on him, so let's just put him away. But you know, it's
Carter
not actually a prison.
Carter is still
it's
kind
fine.
Of struggling, but going gradually more and more limp.
Yep.
At no point, I should point out, does Carter, with his big old talons that he's got now, actually try and do anything of worth. It's more like the tails, by the way, for both of them are just all over the shop.
Yeah, I can
like,
imagine.
They do not have tails down, and they are just flapping all over. Barnes clearly hates his with a passion.
And presumably ruining their balance constantly, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Barnes is walking around holding it because he can't deal with it.
Okay, could you... Yes, I mean, I think it's good that you're looking after the tail, Barnes. I you know, that's great, being considerate.
They don't go where you want them to. They just go where they want to. It's awful.
It's like, that's the thing with bodies. Sometimes you end up in one that doesn't work for you. And, you know, it's a complex thing.
I mean, I've seen you turn into things with, like, a tail. You turn into animals. How'd you make the tail go where you want?
Although, actually, it takes quite a lot of practice, particularly wings. Wings are difficult. That takes work. The first time that I transformed into... actually, that did not go very well. So, I mean, I had a long time of it not going well, and now I've got wings down. Tails are good. When your whole body is a tail, like a snake, that is hard. I'm still working on that one. But, you know, it's the sort of thing where I'll take a few days and I'll be like, okay, so how does a snake go up a tree? It also teaches you lots of things about mechanics that you wouldn't think about if you just stick in the one form. It gives you lots of different perspectives on how you could move, which I find really useful for engineering.
I'm going to say this conversation is happening on the way to the... We'll call it the lockbox.
Okay. Another box.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know how this has become a campaign of various types of box, but here we are. The whole time, by the way, Carter's just like... Eventually, you start getting a repeated tap-tap on the shoulder. Turns out Carter's way better at tails than Barnes is.
Anyway, we'll bundle him into the lockbox and also just say... And that is... I know it's not technically stolen property, unlike most, I assume, of the property that you have given us to drink. But since you didn't, like, steal it deliberately. But remember, this is a borrowed... body, and that you have to take care of it, and that, you know, it could really, it's, bodies are important to people in ways that, you know, sometimes aren't clear to other people, and you just need to, like, deal with the fact that Natan may not be okay with you, like, you know, trying to beat me up with it. So, like, be careful, okay? Look, there's lots of nice, soft things in there, but also don't get too drunk in that body, because that might give some, you know, they might need to deal with a hangover that they didn't cause.
Hey, look, okay, I mean, if... I'm going to be honest, right? I mean, Natan can do what they want with my body because that is just a broken heap. Like, that is just a mess.
Yeah, but
so,
that,
you know, they can do what they want.
I don't care. Asking you to be, you know, respectful to the body that you're...
I know!
Okay.
It's fine.
Right. Well, you know, coincidentally, I'm going to just lean against the door here and I've got some small things that I need to fix. But that's just a coincidence, you know? You're not a prisoner. You're just inside that box and I'm leaning against the door.
Barnes from the outside is just can I get you anything, you know?
I don't know, some company, like, that isn't, like, tell me about you.
What do you want to know?
I don't know,
how you became such an arse. Shut up, Carter.
When this is over, where do you want to go home to?
I'm going to take a break on a very searching and good question.
Aww.
Back in a couple of minutes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, where does Orm look like to me? You know what? I loved patrolling the channel.
Yeah. Where's the channel?
So you've got France, right? And then you've got that little strip of water, and then you've got the island off it.
All right, cool.
London and
the island
and
of London.
Edinburgh.
Wait, I thought it was a country.
Oh,
like,
no, it's like
dad's from.
Well, there's more than that. It's just that there's a port. Look, it doesn't matter. The point is, like, that was meant to be. It was almost like a punishment detail because nothing ever happened in the channel. You know,
uh-huh.
It was a place where you just get put and you do your time, you do your patrols, you sit bored for a while, then you go off and you do the you know you do the interesting ones.
Hmm.
I quite like the channel. I don't think I'd want to be on a ship though.
So you want to be swimming in the channel?
No, I'd like to be near the coast, but I don't want to be in a ship.
So you're on the land. You're not. In the water, but not on a ship.
I always wanted me on, but not like a military vessel, just a little, you know, a little... I don't know how to fish.
Oh, there's lots of different ways. I've actually experimented with a few different devices that can assist, but also I know people who do it just using very simple...
spears, that's what I wanted to learn. I saw there were these ones who were spear fishing. I don't get how.
It's like wings, you know? It's very
difficult.
I tried
sword fishing. It didn't go well.
Ooh. Yeah, I can imagine. It doesn't really...
There's not the reach.
No. Well, you know, if when there's time, maybe I can we can build a boat together. That sounds
or
like
you could just
project.
Use a net, you know? chuck a net. Job done.
Well, no, not if you drop the net in the wrong place. I don't know if this is still, like, if engineering concepts about fishing is where you want to...
This to gently pull away. Yeah. I will summarise for you. Secretly, Barnes would love a place on the French coast where he has his own boat and he goes out fishing, not that he knows how to fish and not that he knows really how to keep a home. But he has this weird, specific, small dream.
I think Cell will be responding with increasingly enthusiastic ideas, plus quietly listening to things that seem quite meaningful from what seems like a very reasonable and nice gentleman. And so they have a lovely chat, I would assume, sitting next to each other, leaning against the door with occasional interjections.
To be specific, with occasional unhelpful interjections.
Right, yes, okay, yes, from Carter, yeah.
Okay, in that case then, I am going to shift focus away from Cell for a little bit. I still have a Helen and I still have a Ben. If anyone has anything they're especially wanting to pursue or anyone especially wanting to talk to in characters, now's the time to let me know.
No, just as one of the only people who didn't have their body swapped, I'm just wandering around trying to keep tabs on everyone, see that they're doing okay, and also that the ship isn't in danger of crashing.
In which case, then, I'd like to follow that, if I may, Ben.
Sure.
As you're sort of doing the rounds and checking in on people, mostly people seem to be keeping busy. Weirdly enough, everyone seems to be being currently very, very kind to one another. And I don't mean a, way, it's more in a, this is awful, innit? Yeah, it's terrible. So as a result, everyone's being quite chill with one another, and a lot of the normal arguments aren't really cropping up. So Sasra in Airhouse Body sort of stumbles up to you and sort of starts awkwardly kind of coming towards you.
Right.
And just sort of tries to make, how do I put it? They try to make themselves known, but they aren't actually like starting a conversation. They're just trying to make themselves obvious.
So I'm assuming that this ain't allow you to speak English or Dwarven.
I need help.
Is this in English?
Yeah. So Sasra's had very broken English, but yeah.
All right.
Can you give me a perception check, please?
Sure. That's 29.
Oof.
In fact, that'd be enough as is. Can you also give me a heal check, please?
Oh, that's a natural 20, so 32.
Cool, I can skip describing stuff. Sasra's in a body that is still dealing with quite a lot of withdrawal symptoms, and this is not a person who was ready to deal with that.
Great.
In terms of ways to deal with this, on the one hand, like, this is pretty, like, out there territory. It's not like you can consult the book what to do when. However, like, dealing with withdrawal as a thing is a thing that you're already trained with how to deal with and so on, and you've seen it plenty of times on ships where someone will have deliberately joined a crew to get themselves away from stuff, and then obviously it comes to light as they're out on the waters or whatever. At this stage, if you don't have magical ways of mitigating it and so on, you're going to have to take them off duty, as in, like, they are not going to be good for anything, at the very least for a day or two, if only to just... They have a lot of catching up to do on just how they're feeling, if that makes any sense. Bed rest, ridiculous amounts of water, and there is a chance that, like, nausea and stuff might be a problem. Unfortunately, unless you have the ways that you've been using on Earhart to basically mitigate stuff, and I think you've blown through most of them on the crew, like, for the obvious reasons we've talked about, it's going to be an element of, like, bed rest and try not to freak out.
Obviously, this is, like, withdrawal as a whole is the result of a physical and a psychological dependency.
Yeah.
Sasra is not having to do with the psychological element, but is having to deal with the physical one. And assumedly, Earhart is having to still deal with the psychological element, but not the physical one. So I don't know how she's doing.
Yeah, Earhart, you did see Earhart basically gave her, try and keep everyone's morale up, and then went to her cabin.
All right, well, I'll check.
That's the last that you've seen Earhart. You're okay. Bang on with Sasra. Sasra clearly doesn't really have the language to explain what's going on, but it gets very easily apparent that Sasra has no desire to drink or anything. Sasra just has no idea what's going on whatsoever. Yeah. And assumes that they're like, you get the impression they're a little bit embarrassed that they seem to be struggling with stuff so much more than everyone else.
Fine. So here's a question, is if we give Sasra some grog, because that will help to deal with the, you know, the actual chemical physical dependencies without theoretically negatively impacting Sasra's psychology, because they don't have for psychological dependency. I guess there's a risk that Sasra could develop a psychological dependency because having Grog makes them feel better, and you know that's how addiction.
I can tell you now, as a short-term patch job where it'll help mitigate some symptoms, you don't think Sasra's suddenly about to start generating these connections in a way that's going to be a problem. However, yeah, doing this as a solution for the next 5 weeks is not going to be a good call.
Yeah, okay. Great that we can actually talk to each other. I'll get Amid or Sel if there's a problem. So, Earhart was addicted to alcohol, right? Did you get that?
Sasra's,
She drank...
Alka...
Drank too much.
Sasra does a sort of drinking motion.
Yeah, that.
You literally see the light bulb go on behind Sasra's eyes.
Yeah, so you're dealing with that in that body.
Oh.
So for you, go lie down and sleep it off, like, for the rest of... until we can deal with this, all right? You're relieved of duty until that time. I know, try and keep yourself busy in an off-duty way, but don't put in much effort. You don't need to do any hard tasks.
Sleep, and then a thumbs up.
Yeah, sleep, read, lie down, play games, but like relaxing ones, not physical ones.
Sasra starts to walk off.
All right.
Not in a like rude way. Just in a like okay, and then just leaves.
Great, but bye. right, Earhart. Right, I'm gonna go check on Earhart.
Do you knock then enter or just enter?
I mean, it's the knock and then just open the door and not wait for a response.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's fine. You open and you just see Earhart sat on the bed, which is slightly oversized. Bear in mind the captain's cabin is designed for gnomish sizes, but the kobolds are slightly smaller.
Sure.
She is just sat staring at her hands. Hands in her lap, just staring at her hands.
Captain?
Mr. Smith?
How you doing?
Yeah. This is... How's everyone else doing?
Varying degrees of fine to not fine, but no one's in danger, so... You know, it's okay, broadly, I suppose.
Carter broken anything yet?
Well, nothing's blown up.
Keep an eye on him.
But yeah. Will do, if I can see him.
Earhart has not looked up yet. Earhart is just flexing her hands and then rotating them over and flexing them again.
Okay. Do I need some sort of, oh, this is what's happening check? Because I've just realised, oh, this is what's happening.
No, I don't think so. Like, you get to decide whether Zolf has made that realisation, but I don't think this requires dice rolling. It'd be kind of arbitrary, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I can give you an insight check for extra stuff that might not have occurred to you if you want.
There is no insight in this system.
Ah! Played too many different games. It'd be sense motive, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, it would be. I'll take
I'd like you to do a sense motive.
Yeah, sure. All right.
It's about more than detecting lies, people.
So that's a 19.
19? The thing that you think you've realised.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that now. Additionally, your sense motive is such, there's two ways this could go with Earhart.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's real bad, and the other one is less bad, and there is, at this stage, flip of a coin territory a little bit.
Okay. So, under Zolf's breath, like, oh, maybe I should get out of here. But at this moment, I will walk over to Earhart and slip my hands into hers, because she's just focusing on her hands, as it were. Be like, hey... It's going to be all right, all right?
She's trembling imperceptibly. She then starts to grip your hand slowly. She doesn't appear to have noticed that she's doing so.
Yeah.
It is far too tight.
Yeah, I know, and she's got
and
talons.
And there are talons.
Yeah.
Yep.
I will not say anything.
There's no aggression there, but she is just sinking them into your hand without realising she's doing so.
So I've got loads of hit points.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I've got loads of hit points.
Sometimes people just want to hear the classics.
She couldn't one-shot me with a shotgun. She's not going to one-shot me with her hands.
But yeah, she just sits there for a while, very quietly. It doesn't look any different, Mr. Smith.
What doesn't?
Everything.
Are we speaking metaphorically? Because your hands are very... Yeah, no, what?
Everything else.
Right. Yeah, what did you expect?
She catches herself realising that she's grabbing you and then
releases the hand, stands unsteadily, and then just sort of sits back down because she has nowhere to go and nothing to do.
Yeah. No. What do you mean? Talk it through.
I don't know. I thought it would feel more different.
I'm going to kneel down so that I can look her in the eye. Go, did you think you were going to start worshipping dragons?
No, I... Give me another sense motive.
Yep.
Because it's for a completely separate line of inquiry.
25.
Earhart is clearly really embarrassed because you've clearly hit the nail on the head. Like, I'm extremely busy, and I have a crew who need healing, and you're a healer, so go do the heal. She opens a drawer, gets some paper, puts it down, and then starts organizing blank pieces of, like, clearly blank pieces of paper.
Oh.
Permission to speak freely, Captain?
When do you ever not, Mr. Smith?
Oh, I thought it was polite to ask. Use this, right? Don't ignore this. And don't run away from this. This is important, all right? So, that's it.
Why did I have to add a ship's counsellor to the crew?
I'm your first mate. That's what I do.
Maybe that's just a damning indictment of the people that I associate with more than a testament to your skill, Mr. Smith.
Either way, what's important is you take this and you run with it and you keep moving forward.
Go, I don't know, stop another mutiny, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll go check for Carter.
Oh, God, yeah, please do.
See you later, Captain.
And
I'll leave.
You hear the sounds of paper immediately being stopped shuffling the second that you're out the door.
Mm-hmm.
The distinct sounds of someone not being busy resound echoingly through the door.
I should just get wild and make them have a fist fight or something. That'll buck her up.
And so, I am going to jump to you, Helen. As the last person on our little whistle-stop tour of people dealing with things, you've managed to get off lightly so far.
I have. I've just been listening to everyone else be emotional. I'm going to make everything worse and go and look for Hamid.
Okay. Hamid, after your conversation with Skrark, where would you have ended up?
Probably back on duty doing some general ship things. So... I wanted to look for Sasha.
Navigation things?
Doing ship things. Stuff. Yeah.
I love ships.
Everyone's busy doing ship things. You know,
ropes, sails, dolphins. Canvas. I'm already running out.
So,
knots.
Well, so the thing is that, you know, we still need to do basic maintenance to make sure the ship is continuing to fly.
Love to not drop out of the sky. Love
well,
it.
Absolutely. Hamid did want to look for Sasra, but he saw Zolf go off with Sasra briefly, and then he saw Zolf go and speak to Earhart, so he's going to let that happen and then talk to Zolf and Sasra later. And so while he's doing that, he will just... Yeah, I mean, basically, ropes constantly need tightening on ships. Things need, you know, you need to trim the sails. Like, that's, you know, that is an expression because... Everything is constantly changing and everything needs constant maintenance, and it's just small adjustments to keep everything running efficiently.
Although I do want to clarify, just for people's mental image, I don't think this ship has sails because it has jet engines, or am I mistaken?
It does not have sails.
Okay.
Yeah, that is.
You're
going to
trim the exploding elementals.
I think I broke Helen's mental image of the ship.
That's
yeah,
the thing.
Because
I just,
now
yeah.
I'm like, so there's just a single pole with a crow's nest on the top and nothing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what about lightning strikes?
I thought
I think
we did have
sails
to assist with steering because
yeah.
the jet engines mostly go forward.
I thought, didn't we have like ventral fins?
Oh, we have wings,
than,
don't we?
You have fins and so on, but you don't have sails because yeah. you don't need the forward motion.
As well, it's just been at the top of this... really spindly pole, just like...
Although that kind of makes sense, though, because
yeah.
we'd need, like, a Faraday cage around the opening canopy. Like, instead mm-hmm. of sails, we'd need something, because we're going to get struck by lightning all the damn time. So
yeah.
we definitely need that sort of
I mean, if you're in midair, it's not a big deal, though. Because you don't get struck by lightning. The lightning just kind of
yeah,
goes
you've been
round
struck by magical
you.
Lightning, Bryn.
No,
it's a big
well,
deal.
Planes do, right? Planes get struck by lightning all the time. It's just it reroutes it around the plane. It goes through the plane.
Yeah. So they
so
become
kind of
they become
away
charged,
from the physics
but
of a fictional
create
world.
Problems on the
yeah,
plane.
Yeah. But the only issue
Look,
is we're
Sel
made of
made
wood,
this
so
it is yeah. fine. It,
yeah.
if anything,
Faraday uncaged.
There's probably a lightning rod on the crow's nest.
Sorry,
Alex. This is really interesting.
Reel this story.
Probably then. Okay, Hamid will have used his waiting for Zolf to finish with other people time to just update his estimates of the ship's position according to the charts they have.
Interesting. Actually, let's get a roll for that. You all now have various profession sailor checks.
Yeah.
Can you please give me profession navigation check?
18 total.
You're definitely still en route, and you've not gone wildly off. You can't be certain, but you cannot shake the suspicion that you made astonishingly good time through the Borealis.
Cool.
As in, faster than you should have made through the Borealis, make of that what you will.
Interesting. Okay, cool. As you probably find him, doing that, sitting over charts and making calculations.
Okay. Ahmed!
Oh, Azu, hello.
Hi. How are you doing up there?
It's all very strange, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't like being small again.
Oh, Azu, I'm sure we'll find a way to fix this. But being small isn't all bad. I'm finding it quite disconcerting to be much larger, I have to confess. Although obviously your body is very nice and very, impressive.
What a chat-up line.
Yeah, I know, it is, isn't it?
I knew you were strong, but it's different to be able to do those things yourself. I mean, I had no idea.
Well, you know, it's what...
Did I just hear Hamid say, "You're totes swole, good job"?
Just love the idea of Hamid being just flexing and checking out his own bicep.
I'm the gun show. It was me.
Look at
these
guns. No, look at them. These guns.
No, it's more like he sees a barrel, that some of the charts are on, and it's the size that Hamid is normally, and he can just pick it up.
Oh gosh, at some point Hamid's clearly gonna be like, oh, can I get some help with, I can just,
you know, that kind of thing where you pick up a mug and you think it's gonna be full but instead it is empty, or worse, it is half full. Mm-hmm. So you pick it up far too fast and then you pour hot tea all over yourself because you misunderestimated whatever that was. I'm assuming that Hammond is doing that. Like, the barrel is there. He's like, oh, I'll just move that to the side. And it goes, boom, across the desk.
I had to rearrange this space just now before I began my calculations. And, I normally have to ask you for help. And now...
You can do it yourself.
Well, you are still helping me, but in a different way, I suppose.
Yeah. Ooh. Can you... Azu holds out her little kobold arms to be picked up, and she wants to sit on your shoulders.
Oh, of course, yes, please.
Thank you. This feels better.
I know it's difficult, Azu. We're gonna get through this, and we're gonna find a way to fix it. I know that.
I'm really sorry. I've just realised that Azu is now doing what Grizzop used to do to Azu.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just thought I needed to bring that up.
Oh, Benjamin! That is genuinely all that I wanted to do. I wanted Azu to get put on...
On
her own... She wants to be tall again!
Yeah.
And she is. And on that, I am going to end the episode there.
Oh.
With the two of you, both now, tall, strapping bucks... looking out more or less at the same eye level out towards the distant vista. And you two are probably the first to notice out of everyone that you appear to be reaching the end of the massive array of mountains and so on, and entering the next phase of your journey.
Exciting.
But I think I'll end that there.
Cool.
How we doing?
I just want to note for the record that obviously while picking up Azu in Mirk's body to place her on his shoulder, Hamid obviously had a little cuddle on the way.
Oh,
and
yes.
Then. I just think it's important to note the hugs for the hug tally.
Was it the kind of hug where, like, almost like with a cat that you yeah. do a hug and then and then Azu like clambers.
Yeah.
That, in my head, yes.
Aww. Hugs for the hug god.
Well, I let's leave on that. Hugs for the hug god. Bye.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening. Check bodies for a second. Welcome to my life. I did this to myself. I don't know why I'm moaning. Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons: Mahum Farhan, Snurfle, Jordan J, Will Holmesroys, Kashi, For Reasons Unknown, Mila, Muddy Hippie, Ori Roka, Alison M, Diana Raphael Cameron, Haunted Moon, Orion, Tim, Grace Lang, Avi Kritz, Pipe Zealot, Will, Wouldn't It Be Nice, Casey, Kai, Bepper, Matt Stogner, Alst, Inside Ace's Head, Alexander Jiggles Newall, Moduli, Juliet, Pastiche Candioli, Craig Dorman, Victoria Taylor, Badger Hat, Lewis Mack, Lydia Obershane, Red McKinley, Lindsay Bradford, Just Simple Gabby, Victory Storms, Urban Foraging, Morgan Gillespie, Shelby, Ashley Duarte, Diana Lopera, Chris Sanders, Jess, Hip Harp 101, Jay Schreiber, Dismas Novoa, Cold K, Seb. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.